Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Focus the attention of our faith on what? On the victory of Mount Calvary. On the fact that Jesus has performed the work on Calvary that allows all of this goodness to come to us.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome on board, truth seekers. My name is David. This is Truth Infusion, and we're excited to have you a part of what I hope is the most anointed 30 minutes on the radio. Now, I haven't said that in a while, but let me explain what I mean when I say that. I'm not trying to be arrogant or puffed up or proud. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit truly anoints this 30 minutes to the point that it is a life-changing opportunity in someone's heart and life. I know me, and I cannot do this on my own. So if what you're receiving through this radio show is the best that I can offer you, then it's not going to be a benefit to you. Really, it's just wasting your time. However, if I somehow, some supernatural way, allow the Holy Spirit to take control of me, then what you're going to get is His ministry. And anytime that happens, you're in for a treat, because the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit can do what no man can do. And that's what we're going to ask. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to get into what God has in store for us today as we continue on the topic of grief with a teaching that I've entitled In the Grip of Grief. But let's pray first about this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we give You glory. We glorify You, God. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy to hear us call Your name, and You're worthy to have Your creation worship You. Heavenly Father, more than anything right now, I need You to take control of this time. Minister through me, Lord God, into the hearts and lives of these listeners, and Father, plant in them the words of life. God, when this is over, I pray that these listeners and that I will be more like Your Son, more like Jesus. Send the Holy Spirit to do this work in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glory to God. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for an opportunity to speak about You and to speak words of life. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been diving into a new topic matter. We've been talking a whole lot about grief. I found that it's a needed subject in the world today to be discussed and taught on, not from man's point of view, as we kind of went into last week, but from God's perspective. What is this grief all about? Why is it so difficult? And what is God's plan? God's plan to help you deal with it. Last week, I took you through a few things that this plan of God for dealing with grief, for seeing the grip of grief released over your life, what this plan is not. I don't know if you were with us last week, and if you are not, I try to always make mention of this. If you go to the website, to truthinfusion.com, and you look at our radio page on the website, all of the radio programs that are recorded and broadcast from Truth Infusion are uploaded to that website, and you can hear last week's show in totality. You can also hear a show from 6 months ago, and it's there for you. So catch up. If this today hits home with you, go back and listen to the last three shows and catch up with the teaching that God is giving us over the topic of having victory over grief. Last week, we discussed what this plan of God for encountering the grip of grief and seeing it open and released over our lives is not. What is the plan not? The plan is not from worldly man. We discussed that men and the thoughts and the institutions of the world cannot benefit you and give you true and real freedom from grief. They cannot do it for a very simple and logical reason, because worldly man does not have within himself or herself the natural innate ability to conquer the grief and the loss and the mourning that they're dealing with. They don't have that. The reason they don't have that, as I told you 2 weeks ago, is because when God designed and created us, when He designed and created Adam and Eve, He did not design and create into their being anything that had to do with death, because He did not determine that we would ever die. It was His original intent that man would live forever. So why would He give us something inside of our being with which to see victory come from grief within ourselves if He never intended for us to experience death or grief? I don't think God would do that. I think that is why grief is the most overwhelming and difficult emotion for humans to deal with. In fact, as I've told you, most people never get over it. And let me speak more to that. What do I mean when I say get over it? What do I mean when I say the grip of grief is released or relaxed or we don't have to deal with that anymore? We have victory over it. I mean that it is something that you have walked away from and do not have shackles on you, are not drawn back to it. You don't have that section in your heart and your life that you try not to deal with because it hurts. You don't have certain days of the year where you're just down and depressed because they relate back to that loss that you've experienced. You know, a lot of people think they have victory over something, yet in their mind, they still battle it. Now, they're not weeping and wailing like they were before. Maybe they're not in deep depression anymore, but if you're still battling it in your mind, are you truly, really free from it? How can you be, right? How can you be truly free from something if you're still fighting the war from time to time in your mind? It just doesn't make sense to me. I think God wants us to have life more abundantly, wants us to be, listen to what Paul said, in these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That means we're not just winners, but we've utterly destroyed the opponent to the point that there is no sign of him anymore. And when I say that God wants you to have victory over this, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you that worldly man and his schemes and his devices and his plans and his 12-step programs and his self-help books and his television shows cannot benefit you there, because worldly man, unsaved, unregenerated man, and all of his psychology and all of his humanistic psychiatry, he cannot fix himself with that. Why? Because he has nothing inside him that allows him to do that. So how can he, if he can't fix himself, fix you when you've got the same problem? Amen? So that's not the plan. The plan does not come through the hand or the plans of worldly man. But also, it does not come through the hands or the schemes or the ideas of religious man either. So there are certain preachers, and I use that word lightly, there are certain television personalities, there are certain people that call themselves life coaches instead of pastors. They are not operating by the will and the design plan laid out in Scripture for how we overcome. They're operating under really more worldly schemes than anything else. And they mingle it with a few Bible verses, and they make people that don't know any better feel like they are in the right vein in trying to find recovery. So if worldly man and religious man cannot help you deal with and overcome grief, then what is this plan? What does God's plan? Well, if it can't come by natural means, it must be supernatural means. And that's where we left off last week. So we're going to go quickly into discussing God's plan for dealing with grief. And I told you last week, if you were with us from the end of last week, that the key word here is paraclete. It's a funny sounding word. I did not say parakeet. I said paraclete. Paraclete. The key to success and victory over grief is found in identifying the paraclete. So that's what we're going to talk about today. John 14, verses 16 and 17. This is going to be the basis of this teaching today. I'm going to read this. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's teaching them some of the most important words that they've ever heard come from Jesus. Now, they're not going to understand all these words until the resurrection, the ascension, and then Pentecost comes. For when Pentecost comes, these teachings come to life. Okay, so Jesus is telling them this stuff, and they're hearing it, and maybe they're catching some of it, but overall, this is a teaching they're having trouble completely grasping. But we understand it because we are operating on this side of Pentecost. John 14, verses 16 through 17. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he," the comforter, "may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Okay? He said, he, the Father, will give you another comforter. Now, that's where we're going to spend some time here. The word comforter in the Greek, as it was written by John, is the word paraclete or parakletos. Okay? That's the word that John used. We have it translated to comforter. It means, the word parakletos or paraclete means a person who is called to your side to offer aid. It paints the picture of an advocate or a lawyer or a counselor in the court of justice. The helper, the counselor, the advocate, the one that comes alongside of you to aid you in a situation that you can't deal with, handle, come through on your own. Also, if you're reading this in the Bible, that word comforter is capitalized. And when we see a word capitalized that's not obviously normally capitalized, it's because it signifies or denotes deity in the word. So this word comforter is signifying or denoting deity. What does that mean? God. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. If you haven't pulled this out of what I'm talking about yet. Jesus is referring to this paraclete, the comforter. He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, capital C, comforter. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to pray to the Father, and there's coming a time where he is going to send to you another comforter. He's telling them that the Holy Spirit is coming. Now, they don't understand all they're going to soon find out about that at this time. But Jesus is kind of paving the road for the coming of the Comforter. Now, also, I want you to look at the word another. He will give you another Comforter. This word another in the Greek signifies and symbolizes or describes one of the same kind in the same role. Another here is referring to the one that's coming will be the same as me, is what Jesus is saying. He will take my place, and he won't be a second-rate, second-class stepchild. He is going to be another one of me. He's going to fill the same role. He's going to do the same thing, the same kind. He is going to be another comforter, a comforter of the same make, model, and kind. You follow me on that? Very important. And then he goes on to say that he may abide for you with you forever. You see, Jesus was about to leave. That's what he's prepping the disciples for. He is about to be crucified, buried. Resurrection's going to happen. 40 days later, he's going to ascend, and then he's going to be gone until he returns to us again. So he's telling them, you will not be left alone. You will not be without. In fact, you're not even going to be worse off in any degree, because God's going to send another one just like me. If you've ever wondered, truth seeker, what the Holy Spirit is all about, some people have just not been discipled in this way and they're confused over what is his role. Let me tell you this, if you can discern and ferret out what the Jesus meant to the disciples, he was their teacher, their guide, their rebuker, their provider, their protector, their master teacher. He did all that. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is for us, because Jesus said, God's going to send one just like me, another paraclete. You with me? Very important. Because we have to understand what this Holy Spirit role is about to really begin to grasp how we find victory over grief. So the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. Now, just two chapters later, Jesus is still with the disciples, still in this same monologue, still teaching them in this same time frame. And he's still talking about the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 14. See, the first verse was John 14, 16. This is John 16, 14. John 16, 14, Jesus is continuing this teaching, and he says, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and the King James says, and he shall shew it unto you. That means to give. He shall give it unto you. Let me read it again. For he, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and give it unto you. Now, there's a few things I want to point out here. Very interesting verse. When Jesus said, he will glorify me. That word he is a pronoun that was specifically referring to the Holy Spirit. This phrase right here is an absolutely exclusive statement. I want you to hear this. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will glorify me to the exclusion of everyone or everything else. He will glorify me, no one else. He is the glorifier of the Son. You understand? What Jesus is also saying here is, I won't even glorify myself. In other words, in a few days, cross, burial, resurrection, ascension, my job will be complete. I'm going to sit down beside the Father, and the Holy Spirit is going to take over. His turn to be the hand of God on earth in every capacity. And he will glorify me by his ministry. Okay? Next phrase. For he shall receive of mine. This word receive in the Greek shows what I like to call active reception. Now, when I'm teaching this in person in front of a group, I like to bring someone up with me. Give them an object like a Bible. Tell them, bring your Bible up here, because I want to show you what active reception is like. Now, active reception means that I don't wait for you to hand something to me, to come across the room and give it to me. That'd be passive. That means I'm not doing any work to receive. Active reception means I'm going over and taking it out of your hands. I've received it to myself because I went and got it. You had it, I took it. Got it? Jesus is saying, for the Holy Spirit is going to perform this active reception of what I have. Here's the picture, beautiful picture. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is in heaven looking down on all his children, all of his redeemed. Jesus knows your heart, your life. He identifies with us because he's experienced life on earth. He knows what you need. You have needs, you have shortcomings, you have pains, you have hurts, you have need for things you don't even know that's coming around the corner, but Jesus knows. He knows. He knows what you need. And here comes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the throne room. Jesus is holding what you need in his hands. My child needs this. He's lost his wife and he's hurting, he's grieving. The Holy Spirit comes and actively receives that from Jesus, comes down into your heart and life, into your very heart, and applies it to you. Jesus said, and he shall shew it, or he shall give it unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit expresses the things of Jesus into your life. That is a fabulous picture, and it is the truth. When the Spirit is free and open to move uninhibited in your life, to do and perform his ministry as he so desires and sees fit, then you are receiving from Christ the things that Christ knows you need, and the Holy Spirit is the conduit from which you are getting this, for he is going before Christ, taking what you need and giving it to you exactly as Jesus wants it applied to your life. Really, he is taking the characteristics and the power and the glory and the joy and the goodness of Jesus, and he is planting it into your heart. He is giving it to you. The Holy Spirit expresses the things of Jesus to your life. My goodness. If you did not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, well, maybe you now know it a little better. So we've got to clear a couple of things up in these last few minutes. Let's talk about this plan. Let's identify this paraclete. The effective operational ministry of the Holy Spirit is, now watch this, this is huge. It is the supernatural plan that defeats grief. Because the plan cannot come from within us. We don't have any natural means to overcome grief because God never intended us to deal with grief. Therefore, he did not give us natural ability to deal with it. So how do we receive that? It comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he goes before Christ, and Christ gives to him exactly what we need to deal with grief in that moment that we have it. And when the Holy Spirit can move uninhibited in your life, then you will receive the things of Christ. And when you receive the things of Christ, a little bit here, a little bit there, pretty soon the grip of grief can open on your life and you can walk away from it victorious. Victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we must position ourselves. Here's the key, truth seekers. We must position ourselves in such a way that the ministry of the Holy Spirit can go full out in our lives. We've got to focus the attention of our faith on what? On the victory of Mount Calvary. On the fact that Jesus has performed the work on Calvary that allows all of this goodness to come to us, that has defeated already all of our enemies, that has won every battle. You see, you don't have the ability to do it. I told you last week, give up. Let Jesus take over. Here's how he does it. When you understand in your mind that I don't have to do this on my own, that Jesus has provided the ability and the way and the means for every victory through the cross, and your faith is planted in that. Jesus, you have done it for me already. All I've got to do is receive it. When you are doing that and your faith is pointed in the right thing, this will allow the paraclete, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the ability, the latitude to work full blast in your life, receiving of Jesus and showing it to you. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the plan that defeats everything, every problem. Frustrating the grace or quenching the Spirit. Frustrating the grace of God or quenching the Spirit, the scripture talks about this. These are the Christians who have taken their focus off of the victory of Calvary and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to accomplish all those things in their life. And when we remove the faith from that and we place it on ourselves, or we place it on religious man or worldly man or any other scheme or any other plan, any other developed way to do something, especially when we put it on our own ability to accomplish things. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to pray more. And when I do that, I'm going to be able to get over this. But anytime that you put any sort of plan or move your faith onto anything apart from the fact that Jesus has already done the work, then you inhibit and you restrict the ability of the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do for you. See, the focus of your faith is vital not only to seeing the grip of grief open over your life, but listen, it's vital to seeing any victory come to fruition in your life. This isn't just the plan for grief, but it works perfectly for grief. But this is the plan for Christian victory, period. Period. So let me ask you a couple of hard questions as we get ready to conclude today. Let me ask you this. So where does this leave the unsaved people? Unsaved loved ones when it comes to overcoming grief or dealing with something like grief. You see, no unsaved person can truly experience freedom from the grip of grief, because freedom from grief only comes through the ministry of the Paraclete. Now, they'll improve themselves to the best station in life that they can. But after that, they cannot fully conquer it. But what about this, church? What about this, truth seekers? Where does that leave the Christians who are walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit? That breaks my heart right there. Most Christians will not experience true and complete freedom from the grip of grief. You see, most of us have no clue what walking in the Spirit even means, much less how to live a life of that kind. But I'm here to tell you right now, it is the very key to living a successful, victorious Christian life. It is the whole story. So as we move forward in Christ, we'll learn how to do this. I hope that you've heard something today that's opened your eyes to a few things. I pray that you have. Please contact us, if you will, at truthinfusion.com. Send me an email, truthinfusion@gmail.com. And next week, we're going to continue on looking at the relief of grief, opening up the grip of grief in our life. Until next time, church, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.